The Gospel reading from Luke. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
O Christ, when you ascended, you took your rightful throne. Your time on earth had ended, yet we weren't left alone. You reign o'er earth and heaven. Your Spirit guides our way. Your prayers uphold your people. You lead your church today. We look at earthly rulers and see what they command. We note their years of power, the borders of their land. Yet, Lord, you are not bounded by things like time and space. Your reign is never ending. You rule in every place. It is Ascension Sunday in the life of the church, the day on which we remember Jesus's exaltation to the highest station in the highest of all of the highest heavens. And in America, it is also Mother's Day, the day on which we honor the love and care of all mothers everywhere in all of the world. And the two combined with one another when we remember that we worship one God, Maker and Mother of us all, and Jesus Christ the Son, who is Lord and Savior and Brother of all, without boundary and without border, world without end. Amen. God has gone up with a shout, the psalmist says. For God is the ruler of all of the earth. And the writer of Ephesians says, God has put the power of God's rule to work in Christ. When God raised Christ up from the dead and seated Christ at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked under heaven, not only in this age, but also in every age that is to come. In other words, God is the ultimate ordainer and authority of all power in all of the world. And the rule of God is not confined to one narrow race or ethnicity or nation state or geographical location. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. And this means that God does not look down on the earth and see the same borders which we see. The state of Texas is not the greatest or only nation in the world in God's eyes. Neither is the United States, nor Israel, nor the nation of Islam, nor any other nation under this heavenly sky. God is no respecter of persons. God is beyond all boundaries. And though it is true that the Bible says some are chosen out of the earth to be specially blessed by God, they are blessed to be a blessing unto others, to all of the nations, and not only to themselves and their people alone. So what does this mean for us in practical and political terms? Note that I said God doesn't have borders. I'm not saying we don't have borders. Of course, we have borders. And almost every one of us sleeps inside of a wall. So I'm not saying this morning that we should not respect the international borders, sovereignty, rights, and laws of individual countries. Such respect is the cornerstone of security and peaceful diplomacy in the modern world, and part and parcel of the purposes and principles of the United Nations. But I am saying that there are laws beyond laws. And there is faith and fidelity that is beyond borders. And our ultimate allegiance as Christian people is and must always be first to the universal love of God in Christ, more so than it is to the particular laws or leaders of any country. So the maxim spoken by St. Peter says, honor the king, fear God. With this in mind, I have to say I take real exception to the ongoing attempts of our state attorney general to shut down a Catholic nonprofit serving migrants in El Paso and threatening prosecution because they deem it necessary to humanity to serve undocumented people. Welcoming and helping the stranger, especially a desperate one, is essential to what it means to be and to act as a Christian. And against such things, there should never be any law or prohibition, and certainly not prosecution. Unless we think El Paso and the border is a long way from here, let us remember that we've had undocumented people staying here with us in our very own gym. How many? We don't know, because we don't ask. Because we believe a safe place to sleep ought to be a basic right for everybody on this entire globe. Every square inch of which belongs to God, including from the Red River to the Rio Grande. And this testimony this morning, we have heard from Jen Nelson about this woman from Guatemala staying in our gym is a powerful one. She is a mother. And motherhood is universal. God's motherhood is universal. Refugees fleeing from terror, women seeking asylum, mothers desperate for their children. This is how God comes to us. Just like the image on the cover of our order of service today, God too is a worried mother seeking shelter for her children. God too, Jesus himself said, is a mother hen reaching out her wings to gather her flock in protection, covering her brood. When we open our hearts and our doors to this mother, we open them also to God. God is concerned for all her children, and so too should we be. This is the reason why Mother's Day was first conceived. And it's the reason why it was first celebrated in a church, a sanctuary. The first Mother's Day celebration took place in 1907 at Andrews Methodist Episcopal Church in Grafton, West Virginia. A woman named Anna Jarvis organized the day to remember her own mother, Ann Rivas Jarvis, who served as a nurse to soldiers on both sides of the American Civil War and later worked as a peace activist together with Julia Ward Howe, author of The Battle Hymn of the Republic, to urge a Mother's Day for Peace, where mothers could plead that their husbands and sons no longer be killed in war. In 1870, almost 40 years before that first Mother's Day celebration, Julia Ward Howe had issued her Mother's Day proclamation, which called upon, quote unquote, a Congress of women without limit of nationality, summoned to promote the alliance of the different nationalities, the amicable settlement of international questions, the great and general interests of peace. And speaking to and on behalf of women all across the globe, she said, "The sword of murder is not the balance of justice. Blood does not wipe out dishonor, nor violence vindicate possession. For from the bosom of the devastated earth, a voice goes up with our own, and it says, disarm. Disarm." So then she called for a meeting of women, a Mother's Day, to bewail and commemorate the dead and take counsel with each other as to the means whereby the great human family can live in peace, each learning after their own time the sacred impress not of Caesar, but of God. That may not be quite the message your Hallmark card has for your mom this holiday. It may not be a part of the Mother's Day ad campaign at Olive Garden. But the fact remains, the roots of Mother's Day are radical. Radical, not sentimental, not saccharine, but salvific. And that original message of Mother's Day, well, it is the message the world most needs to hear right now. It is time for this war in Gaza to be over. It is time to disarm. There is a time for war and a time for peace, and our children on our college campuses are right. It is time for peace. All victims and refugees of war are children of God. And everyone killed or kidnapped on October 7th was or is a child of God. And so are all of the hungry and haggard Palestinians fleeing for their lives. And our own Christian siblings are among them, and they are begging that all of this would end. So too is our Mother God. It is time. The bombing needs to stop. The hostages and prisoners need to come home. The great human family needs to know what it means and what it takes to learn to live together in peace. May it be so that this Mother's Day would be once again a calling to a Congress, a family meeting, to say, let us learn how to live with one another, as Dr. King said, as brothers and sisters and siblings, lest we perish together as enemies. The first meditation in our order of worship this morning was from someone named Maltby Davenport Babcock. He was an American clergyman, and he wrote the words to the familiar hymn, "This is my Father's world. This is our Father's world. And it is our mother's world. And though the wrong seems off so strong, God, on Ascension Sunday, is the ruler yet. God is the ruler of this world. And not a sparrow falls to the ground without our Father knowing it, and not a hair on our head is lost without our mother numbering and lamenting over it. And not a child, not a single child on this God's green earth is beyond the border of God's compassion, concern, and tender loving care. And neither should they be beyond the borders of our love and care also. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's children say,